time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Well, we are living in surreal times, people. This podcast is being recorded during a time when basically the entire world is on lockdown, and it's affecting everyone's lives because of the coronavirus thing. And I want you to know that no matter where you're listening to this podcast from right now, that God is still on his throne and everything is going according to his overall plan, that nothing catches God off guard. I heard someone say recently, or maybe I read it, where they were saying, I'm so tired of hearing people say that God's got it in control and blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something, folks. God does have it in control. If he doesn't, then he's not God. God is, we don't believe in deism, that God just wound up the world and then just shot it out into space and he doesn't have any connection anymore. No, God is infinitely and intricately connected. In fact, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon used to say that God even navigates the falling path of a leaf to the ground. You know, God is, he's involved. Now, he's not the author of sin, but God even uses sin in his greater plan. Obviously, he does, because he used the death of Jesus Christ. In fact, Acts chapter 4 says that the death of Christ, which is the worst thing that has ever happened in all of mankind, was foreordained by the predetermined plan of God. So yes, he is in control. And yes, he is using all things. And yes, he will use this whole coronavirus thing, both the stuff that's of real substance involving it, the real danger, and also just the mania that is surrounding it as well. God's going to use that. He's already started to use a lot of this in getting people's minds. And here's the deal. Now, follow me on this, okay? There's a phase that the human mind goes through. When I say the human mind, I mean collectively the human mind, where there's this initial what's going on, and then that kind of transitions to, oh my gosh, we are frail and fragile and we're not permanent and we need God and that kind of thing. And now they begin to look at reality and life and stuff like that. And then it transitions to, what the heck, let's just have fun and party. And so we are quick to forget God. We are quick to forget the lessons that God wants us to learn. And we've forgotten about 9/11. We've forgotten about how God brought us to our knees. And God is trying to bring countries to their knees so that they will look up. And yes, while trying to come up with a vaccine for this thing, at the same time, God wants us to look up and say, God, we need you. We really need you. And some people are doing that. And I'll tell you what, right now, this is a prime time, an open door opportunity to talk to people about Bible prophecy, because this highlights even more so than previous days how critical the hour is and how things that are coming into view about the end times. And when you read things in Revelation sometimes reads less like a sci-fi novel when you see what's going on around us right now. You go, whoa, 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 that could happen, because this actually is happening, right? So the scare of this thing, just real quickly, is not only that if we were to get this thing under control in a relatively safe amount of time, A, what's the fallout from it economically and just on the collective psyche of our culture, of our world culture? Can we recover from this economically? Well, yeah, but it may take some time. And again, as I mentioned in maybe the last podcast, the one before that, there are lots of people are affected. You're affected by this. And listen, I get it. I want you to know I prayed for you, because I know this is going to be a difficult time for many of you with your jobs. Depending on some jobs, you just go to home and work and you still get that salary and everything's cool. It's an inconvenience for you, but you still get to do it. Other people, people in the service industries, their jobs have basically been cut out. Some people have even been fired from their jobs because their employers just can't support them, right? And ministries are some of the hardest hit. Churches, obviously, are hard hit as well. But ministries like mine are taking a massive hit from something like this. So I encourage you just to pray. You do whatever God tells you to do, but if you would just please pray that God would come in with his mighty arm and he would provide everything that we need and more. And not just for my ministry, but for other ministries that you're a part of. So, yeah, so people are going to they're gonna be hit economically, but then people are going to ask the question, hey, wait a minute, what if we get it under control and then it comes back again? And we're going to have to go through this thing over and over and over again. What's going to be the fallout? Maybe until they get a vaccine, right? Or then the third thing that people are going to say is, what if it's another kind of virus that's even more resistant to vaccine and is stuff we've never heard of before? Well, guess what? That stuff could very likely come in the tribulation period. But even before then, things like that could happen. So that's why we need God. And so that's why I wanted to begin just for a couple minutes today and just read to you a very simple verse that I think will give you some comfort and give you some perspective on this whole thing. And it's a verse that everybody listening to my voice knows. You've heard it. You've read it. You've said it. And it's Genesis 1:1. Listen to this. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. The Bible says that God is the originator of everything that there is. We see that in John chapter 1, where John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Logos, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Those verses there are speaking of the fact that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. It says in verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him. So Christ, the Son, was with the Father and the Spirit at the very beginning of creation. Let me give you another verse that directly correlates to this. It's in Colossians chapter 1. And Paul writes, speaking of Christ, says he is the image of the invisible God. That word image there is the word icon. We get our word icon from it. It was used to mark out the image of an emperor on a coin. It says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That word firstborn is the Greek word prototokos. It doesn't mean like he's the first created one. It means he is the heir, the rightful heir. That's what that means. That word firstborn, it correlates to the being an heir. Christ is the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created. Okay, could you be more specific, Paul? Paul says, sure, I'll be glad to do that. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. What could that be? Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before, or he is previous. He predates all things, verse 17, and in him all things hold together. There's such a wealth of theology in those verses, speaking of who Christ is as the great creator of everything. And whether there are things that are physical things that like we see in the universe, whether there are invisible things that we cannot see, things that make up the physical universe, things that are a part of the air, part of the atmosphere, a part of who we are, down to the molecular and atomic level, subatomic level. God, the great, this great mind of God, thought all of that up. And it says that he is also the creator of dominions and thrones and rulers and authorities. And I think primarily he's speaking there of the authorities of the spiritual world and how God has made those things. I mean, it says in Ephesians 1:21, that Christ is seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of God, far above all rule and authority and dominion and power and every name that is named, not only this age, but also in the age to come. So one of the things he's saying there is just that Christ predates all creation and that he is ruler over all those things because he's the creator. But back to Genesis here for just a minute, because I think this is so cool. And this really seriously ought to be such a comfort, because the God who began this whole thing is the God who's going to end it all as well. I mean, Revelation 20 through 22 tells us, when we see the end of time there, it tells us that God's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. He's going to recreate everything. It's going to be brand new. And I'm so excited about that, because God is the one who creates. He's the one who recreates. And not just the one who can make worlds new. He's the one who can make our lives new as well. But back to Genesis 1:1, you know, scientists for the longest time have always said that everything that there is can be boiled down to basically five things, okay? Time, force, action, space, and matter. Everything that there is falls into one of those five categories: time, force, action, space, and matter. Now let's go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, time. God, the force, created the action, the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. In the very first verse of the Bible, God scientifically explains everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How in the world could Moses have possibly known not just to write it and to explain it, but to do it that way, in such a way that in future generations, in thousands of years, you know, some 3,000 years later or so, that scientists would come to the conclusion that these are the five things that explain all things. And yet it's right there in the very first Bible, first verse of the Bible. You know, once again, it just goes to show how incredibly on top of everything God is. I mean, nothing takes him by surprise. And it took science thousands of years to put all this together. And yet God had it for us from the very beginning. Isn't God amazing? Isn't he just amazing? You know what? That's the beauty to me of studying the Bible. Because the more you study the Bible, the more you find out how incredibly wise and complete God is and how foolish mankind is. Now, scientists would never today, secular scientists would never say, oh, well, the Bible had it right from the very beginning. They would, you know, because they'd have to say, well, then the Bible's right about the actual creation, how God did it. And they have to abandon their foolish speculative theories about origins. But isn't it amazing how that just happens over and over again? And even with things like archaeology or history, where they say, well, the Bible mentions certain characters in there, but they never existed. And then along comes an archaeologist, he discovers the very character or the very event that the Bible speaks of, and all of a sudden the Bible is validated once again. And I don't have time to go into it right now, but there are so many areas in which the Bible has been vilified and criticized over the centuries, and yet in every single one of those areas, it has proven itself to be absolutely credible and valid. I mean, everything, like I said, from history to archaeology to the textual literary criticism that the Bible sometimes is subject to. I mean, the Bible speaks of geology in Isaiah 40:22 and Job 26 says he hangs the earth on nothing. Isaiah 40:22 talks about the earth being a sphere. There's physiology and the blood circulation in Leviticus 17:11. There's astronomy with the stars of the sky. There's physics, as I just mentioned. There's the first law of thermodynamics in Ecclesiastes 1:9, a second law of thermodynamics in Genesis 3:17 and Romans 8:20. There's hydrology in Ecclesiastes 1:7. I mean, over and over again, the Bible knew all this stuff from the very beginning. You know why? Because God created all those things too. He made all that. And it just took, I mean, think about it. We're a creation. The creation would obviously have to eventually discover what the Creator had done. I mean, we see it in Romans chapter 1 where God says, well, I just laid it out for you. All you have to do is look up, look around, even look within, and you'll find that I put moral conscience in every person. But that's one of the reasons that really does support the authenticity of the Bible, is because it's always right. I mean, it's literally always right, 100% of the time. The Bible has never missed it, not once. And again, it just goes to show that it's the most amazing document ever put together because of its origin. I mean, think about just, for example, the historical accuracy of the Bible. I mean, everything from the Mosaic authorship of the first five books of the Bible to, you know, the use of camels in Genesis to the existence of the Hittites to the existence of Pontius Pilate, all of these things were doubted for centuries and were used as proof that the Bible wasn't real. And yet, we found all those things, proving that the Bible doesn't prove the Bible's the Word of God, but it does prove that it's true and it's accurate. And if it's true and accurate in those things, and also in the fulfilled prophecies, which we won't have time to go into right now, then why would it not be true in other areas as well? But again, it all goes back to that Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. And I say that to say this to you as an encouragement, as a comfort. If God is able to do all that, then why is he not enough to handle our lives as well? If he can speak worlds and galaxies and the universe into existence literally in an instant, then how can he not be strong enough to handle what we bring to him? And God wants us to bring our concerns to him, our worries, our fears right now. My wife and I, we pray every morning together. And this is what we do. We bring to him our needs. We thank him for the things that he has done for us. And we keep kind of an ongoing record of all this answered prayer that he answers for us. And sometimes it's amazing. And sometimes we just go, that's just God. He just does it. That's just what he does. And sometimes, I'll just say this in closing. Sometimes we live out here in the country on this little mountain ridge here. And sometimes I'll go out at night and I'll just stare up at the sky and I'm just craning my neck back to see if I can take as much of it in as possible. And sometimes, because there are no, you know, city lights around here, you can see the stars so clearly. And I just find myself exhaling and just being lost in a sense of overwhelming incomprehensibility. That's even two words to put together. That I just can't take it in. How great and how grand and how wonderfully amazing God must be in ways that I do not know, in ways that I cannot fathom, in ways that I do not understand even from his word. And I just look at the stars of the sky and I just go, God, if you can hold all this together, the millions of light years between stars, and yet it says you mark the heavens off with the span of your hand. Just the idea that God's got it all in control. He didn't just have the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole universe in his hands. And if he can do that, then we can trust him with our lives and the minuscule, seemingly insurmountable problems that we have. But in reality, watch this. It was no more difficult for God to make the universe than it is for him to help you in your problems. Because nothing is a drain upon infinite power. It's just as easy as him to create a son than it is to help a son or a daughter. So pour those things out to the God who in the beginning just simply said, let there be, and there was. I'll talk to you next time. God bless. Stay safe. Stay close to him.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.